Hello, this is David B. Wright, National Director of 40 Days for Life and host and moderator of this Ending Abortion webcast mega event. Welcome. You have joined us at the right place and the right time to participate in the panel on pro-life youth advocacy. What an amazing day this has been as we have gone through. We have now completed 8 out of 10 hours of content on the pro-life movement, starting with the case for life. Then we went into the abortion crisis, Planned Parenthood's abortion empire, the power of prayer, pregnancy care centers, compassion in action, saving lives outside abortion facilities, hope and healing for post-abortive women and men, legislative and political efforts was the part we just wrapped up. This panel on pro-life youth advocacy, and then one more, the final one on influencing the culture, which will be right after this panel. It has been an amazing day. And as I mentioned, my name is David B. Wright. I'm calling in from just outside of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. We have our presenters that are calling in from various places around the country. I'm very honored to have as a co-host on this panel one of my cohorts within 40 Days for Life, the campaign director for our effort, Mr. Sean Carney. Sean, how are you doing today?
We're doing good, David. 8 down, 2 to go.
8 down, 2 to go. Okay. What has most surprised you as we've gone through this day? I mean, literally, we were just talking about this as a crazy idea a couple of weeks ago, and here we are almost done with the day. What has been the most surprising aspect for you?
Well, I shouldn't say this, but I mean, I expected hearts to be moved. I expected the attendance to be as high as it is, but I did not expect the technology to do as well as it has. And so I know I shouldn't say that with two more segments to go, but we have had no problems. It's been flawless. It's been great. And I've probably ruined that now by saying that.
Matt, Kristen, Jim, and Brian are your witnesses that you said that. And if you jinx it, we'll come back and blame you, and you'll have to go back and redo all of these sessions. You'll have to put on a whole 10-hour event yourself next time. How's that?
Fair enough.
Well, this Ending Abortion webcast event, as I mentioned, it was just an idea just a few weeks ago. And here we are today with over 10,000 people united together across the entirety of the pro-life movement. And this entire event is focused on one thing, and that is helping you to save lives where you live. This is not about a top-down approach and a whole bunch of people sitting in their ivory tower pontificating. This is all about people who have been on the front lines for years telling you what you can do to help make a greater impact, save lives in your community, to educate, equip, and empower you, and ultimately to bring an end to this atrocity of abortion that we have been facing in our nation. I think a great way to start, and we've started every panel this way, is with a word of opening prayer. And Sean Carney, will you lead us in an opening prayer to get this session going?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of life and the opportunity to serve you in the pro-life movement. We pray for our future, for the future of our nation, for our students, for our kids, middle school, high school, college students. We pray for our young peers who today are finding out that they are pregnant and do not want to be. We pray for your grace and your mercy, that it is the first thing to enter into their hearts so that they can choose life. And we entrust to you today these leaders that we have on this panel today. They touch so many young hearts, so many naive hearts, so many hearts that want to help end the greatest injustice that has ever come to our land. Give them strength, give them courage, and give them the wisdom to continue to train young people to speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Sean. And for those who have not been a part of the previous webcast sessions, what I want to let you know is that every part of this event has been recorded, and these last two sessions are being recorded, so that regardless of whether you're able to participate in the sessions live, you can access all of them after the fact, and you can listen in on all of this vital information. The one thing we would ask, all of this has been so freely given to you. All of these speakers are on here absolutely free, and in the midst of everything else they're doing, will you share this with others? Tell friends, family members to go to endingabortion.com where they can access all of the same information free of charge. But Sean, why don't you go ahead and set the stage and maybe emphasize why you got started in pro-life work in college and working with a lot of college students. Why is pro-life youth advocacy such an important part of this work?
It's vital to end abortion, which is our theme of the entire webcast. I mean, throughout my entire life, from the seventh grade all through high school, every year at my school, I went to a Catholic school, we were given a formal presentation on the reality of abortion. We had youth leaders come in throughout the country who would inspire us, talk to us about chastity, and just for all of my formative years, and my friends formative years, junior high, high school, that by the time I got to college, I was 100% unconditionally pro-life, and there was nothing that would have changed my mind otherwise. And I meet a lot of young people now that it's quite the opposite. They have never even heard that abortion would be wrong for any reason. It's completely foreign to them. And I can't think of a better group of people than we're going to have on in a moment with Kristen and Brian and Matt Lockett and Jim Nolan to talk about how important it is that young people get involved. Not that they just say they're pro-life or they're uncomfortable with abortion, but that they act upon those convictions. And when you go to the March for Life in D.C. and there's 250,000 people marching, you know, over half of those at least are, you know, 30 and under. There's strollers everywhere. There's high school groups. There's college groups. And that's because of leaders like this, like the group that we're going to have on this panel, and their ability to train young people. And I got very involved in college, and it was just because I was invited to do so, and somebody asked me despite my age. And so I'm excited. I think everybody needs to, whether they're listening to it live or going to download it later on their iPod, this is going to be extremely important because this is the future of our nation, and we need to bring more young people into the movement, because in many ways, the young people are leading the movement right now.
Right. And one of the things that one of our panelists today I've heard say many times is that youth aren't the future of our movement. They are our movement. And that really is what is fueling so much of what is happening in the pro-life movement right now. And Sean, you cited that at the March for Life. And certainly with just 1 hour to talk about pro-life youth advocacy, we can't possibly cover every aspect of this. We'll do the very best we can to give a top level overview, kind of a pro-life 101 boot camp on pro-life youth advocacy. And you'll hear from some of the best experts on that between Matt Lockett, Kristen Hawkins, Jim Nolan, and Brian Kemper. And we also have a special guest who will come on and just say a quick minute about another pro-life effort that she's involved with. But I hope that you will realize this is just the beginning. And each of these presenters will share with you resources and share with you information about how you can take this to the next level, learn more, get involved in pro-life youth advocacy efforts, whether you are yourself a youth or whether you have the opportunity to work with youth. And we'll be talking about both angles of that. So our first presenter is a great friend. He lives not too far away from me here in Virginia now, and that is Mr. Matt Lockett. Matt is the director of Bound for Life. I have seen his work have impact all across the country as I've visited 40 Days for Life sites. Frequently, I see the young people there with the red life tape or the word life written across their mouths, and they're there praying faithfully. I've seen them out in front of the Supreme Court. My wife and kids were doing a field trip in Washington, D.C. not that long ago, and they walked past the Supreme Court, and sure enough, there were all the Bound for Life people, and my wife went up and said, is Matt Lockett here? And they said, oh yeah, he's right over there. And she got to talk to Matt out in front of the Supreme Court where they were praying. Matt, I am blessed to have you as a co-laborer in the Lord's harvest field. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, David. It's good to be on this call with you. Thanks.
Well, it is awesome to be able to get together and share the good news with the thousands of people who have joined this event. I kind of picture it in my mind like we're in a basketball arena packed with pro-lifers, all fired up about learning how they can help end abortion, and yet each of us are on cell phones and on our home phones calling in to share the good news. It's a big family, and together we're able to encourage one another. How about start by giving us a quick bit of background, Matt? How did you get involved in the first place in pro-life work?
Well, that's a funny question, David. You know, I think, you know, maybe I'm representative of many of the folks that are on the webcast today, and maybe especially those that are new to the pro-life movement or maybe just wondering how they can get involved. Hearing that so many are on this webcast today, I think I might represent quite a few of them. But I'm ashamed to say that although I was a Christian, I never really thought about or talked about abortion. I certainly didn't pray about abortion till just a few years ago, and I'd been a Christian for quite a long time. But in 2004, I had something really remarkable happen. I literally had a dream while I slept at night that was about the ending of abortion. And in the dream, young people were praying nonstop, day and night, and abortion ended in my dream. It's now 6 years later, and my family and I are living as full-time missionaries in Washington, D.C. We really got our lives completely turned upside down by something as simple as a dream. But more importantly, though, we're living the reality of that dream that I know is from God, where we're seeing a massive move of young people really flooding into the pro-life movement. It was so exciting, as Sean shared just a moment ago, at the March for Life this year, that so many of the faces were still in their teens. And I even just read an article not long ago where one of the major pro-abortion leaders had gotten off a train at Union Station in D.C. on that day and was shocked by how young the crowd was. And so, you know, for me personally, you know, if I could maybe just borrow a line from one of my favorite books, I had a dream, but now the dream has me.
Well, you know, Matt, I think it's ironic you said that, because I've protested outside of numerous abortion fundraisers, and many times the people supporting the abortion industry are very old and they're withering away. And yet I think it sends absolute shivers up and down their spine when, like you said, they see the youthfulness of our pro-life movement. Now, there are probably people on the line who right now are youth, or they work with youth, and maybe they aren't yet involved in the pro-life movement. From your vantage point, Matt, working with thousands of youth all across the country, why do you think it is absolutely critical for young people to get involved right now? And what would you suggest is the most important thing they can do first?
Well, honestly, now is always the best time to get involved. I really mean that, because we're living in days when the culture is shifting. I mean, the statistics show us this beyond a shadow of a doubt. The agenda of abortion is being pressed harder than ever before here in D.C. and in our neighborhoods, especially our minority neighborhoods. This thing is being really pressed in a way that we have not seen before. And we can't afford to sit and wait and see how it all comes out. When everything is swaying, people of faith, and I want to speak directly to the young people that are on your webcast today. As a young man and a young woman of faith, we have to take our stand. And I know for a fact that tomorrow's headlines are written by today's prayer and fasting. So, David, I can say from experience that the most important thing that anyone can do to see abortion end in America is to pray. This is my personal conviction. And I think that out of the place of prayer, out of our fasting, spring a whole host of heavenly strategies. And so, you know, I want to endorse anything that God is revealing to believers and giving secrets and how to put divine strategies on the ground. And, you know, we have to connect with God's dream for this. That was my personal experience. Was, you know, it wasn't that I just thought it was a really good idea. I really was apprehended with this idea that God's dream is for abortion to end in our nation. And I've met so many people, and young people especially, that feel completely powerless, you know, and really left with the question, well, what can I possibly do? I'm just a nobody.
Right.
And I think, you know, I felt that way. You know, my entry point into all this was I just felt like a nobody. And I would just like to submit to everyone listening that prayer and fasting is the greatest form of activism that we can engage in. Any victory that we're going to have will first be won from that place. And power gets released for all sorts of the heavenly strategies, as I said. And we can all be encouraged that in prayer and fasting, from God's vantage point, there are no second stringers. There's no second class citizens. That God gives each of us vision, and he thrusts us strategically to the front line. And so now's the time to get involved. And the first thing to do is to pray and connect with God's dream.
And that topic, Matt, is so critical. That's why we had an entire session specifically focusing on the power of prayer. And John Ensor and Father Tom Eitenhauer and your friend Lou Engel talked extensively about how potent prayer and fasting can be in the struggle. And you're right, it empowers everything else we do. So if we're engaged in activism on a campus, if we're engaged in pregnancy care ministry, if we're engaged in political efforts, all of that needs to be started and ended with prayer, and it will be far more effective in what we do. Let's be specific, though, about where we can direct prayers. When you think about a young person, okay, I got to pray. That's the first thing I got to do. Should they pray for the young women about to get abortions, or should they pray for the lawmakers who make decisions about whether abortion should be legal in the first place?
Well, you know, both of those things can seem so foreign and intimidating to someone, especially someone that's just wanting to start getting involved. And the easy answer to that, David, is just to say both, and I would say both at the same time. Hmm. I don't think one is more important than the other. And I don't think that we should choose one over the other. I've been so appreciative today of hearing just all of the background and understanding that's been given in the other sessions, and understanding where we are and what's going on, but then also, you know, how we can be agents of ministry to these young women, but also becoming very active in local government, national government, and how we can, deal with these things. But personally, you know, I want to see God intervene in the life of the young woman that's walking into the abortion clinic, and I want to see the public policies that prop up the abortion industry change in the most dramatic ways. And so I don't think God treats it differently when it comes to changing hearts and minds. He can change the young woman's heart, and we pray that he does. And that's why we stand there in front of the abortion clinic. But he can also change the king's heart. And, you know, we desperately need both. I've bet my family's lives on this, really, you know, that we stand in D.C. You know, we've been praying in front of the Supreme Court daily for nearly 6 years now, and I think from God's point of view, a heart is a heart, and he can change either, and he can change both.
Absolutely, and I so appreciate the foundation where you start with prayer, but one of the things that sometimes is hard is when we see this culture of death around us, when we see things happen, whether it's on the political scene or as we pray outside an abortion facility and somebody goes through with an abortion and you just see this heartbreak. How can a young person pray without losing heart when sometimes the answers to our prayers are delayed and sometimes everything just seems contrary to what we're praying about?
Sure. Well, you know, anyone that's listening to this webcast knows that, people praying for the ending, there are more people praying for the ending of abortion now than ever before, but we don't always see things go the way we think they should go. Obviously, with just what's happened recently with abortion being mandated through this healthcare overhaul and takeover. But that doesn't mean, just because they haven't gone the way that we thought they should go, doesn't mean that they won't in the future. And I firmly believe that things can change. And so, we must understand that this is a massive spiritual struggle over the lives and the destiny of our nation. And we have to take encouragement from the things that we have seen and give ourselves wholly to this great work. So, you know, we can look at Galatians 6, and it says that a man reaps what he sows, but it goes on to say that let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And
absolutely,
so we know that God wants us to be persistent, even in the face of opposition, and keep on pushing. So for the young people that are listening, I want to encourage you to add your prayers to the prayers of others and to the ones that have gone before you. I think this is a big thing to understand. That, you know, in a lot of ways, I think that's kind of how this kind of prayer works. Like it has to reach critical mass. Mm-hmm. And you never know when the breakthrough is going to come. So honestly, your prayers might be the ones that tip the scale. And I think that's a good posture for a young person to have, that, you know, not to come at it with, you know, that my prayers don't count for anything, but to really think that my prayers might be the ones that tip the scale. This might be the one that does it. And so, you know, we can look at that passage in Galatians, and, you know, we have a promise of a harvest.
That's right.
You know, and all we have to do, it says, is just not give up.
That's right.
And, you know, that's the conviction, you know, that we've held there in front of the Supreme Court for nearly 6 years. And, you know, young people are taking that attitude to courthouses and state houses and abortion clinics all over the nation. And I'll say this, young people can change the government long before they can vote. Mm. I firmly believe that.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, for somebody who's saying, okay, I am convicted, I need to pray as a first step, I need to fast, if God leads me to do that as part of my pro-life youth advocacy, any suggestions of maybe a good starter resource to help them get going to learn more about that specific topic?
Absolutely. There is a book that changed my life forever, and I think would be very encouraging for those listening to this session. It's a book by Derek Prince called Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. I think it was maybe mentioned in another session today, but that is a really life-changing book that will really empower you and encourage you and really fuel your faith that your prayers and your fastings count. And they really can have a massive effect on the destiny of a nation.
And I keep that book right near my desk. It is a profound truth that we have brought into the 40 Days for Life work and have seen God move in a powerful way when his people pray and fast. And Matt, thank you for all you do with Bound for Life. If people want to find out more about your work and the work of Bound for Life, what's the best place for them to go?
Yeah, our website is boundforlife.com. It's the word bound, the number 4, life, com. And David, I just would be so honored, even just to, you know, to be a resource for the listeners and what you've put together here today. I just want to thank you for having me on.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. And I think that this is the foundation. I mean, we started this session with prayer. We start youth advocacy with prayer. That's where we got to start everything. And Matt, thanks for all you do. Let's move to our next presenter, who has been working side by side throughout the day on this ending abortion event. And now she actually gets her chance as a full presenter. And that is Kristen Hawkins. Kristen is the executive director of Students for Life of America. She has helped to co-organize this event today. And I just have to say, on a personal note, since I've been in the Washington, D.C. area, I have not met a person who is more dedicated to the pro-life cause, has done more to unify the pro-life movement, has done more to advance the pro-life cause, not just in students and youth advocacy, than this young woman that you're going to be hearing from, Kristen Hawkins. She is truly a mentor to me. She's much younger than I am. We won't talk about ages here, but she's younger than I am, and yet I have learned more from this woman than I've learned from many people twice my age. She is a hero of mine. She is an inspiration. I hope all of you will take great notes on what she has to share. How are you today, Kristen?
Great. Thanks, David, for having me on.
Well, you bet. Well, Kristen, give a little background. Everybody wants to know, how did you get started in this pro-life work?
Sure. Well, you know, I got started in the pro-life movement in high school. A woman at my church, I was looking for some community service hours to complete for high school graduation. And a woman at my church said, "Hey, I'm working at this women's center. Do you want to come assist me?" And I said, "Sure, women's center, great. I'm pro-woman." Well, I didn't realize at the time that I was walking into a pregnancy help center, a crisis pregnancy center. And day one, my life was changed. And my husband and I always joke, you know, when he met me, I was this nerdy high schooler who wanted to go and be an aeronautical engineer at NASA. And then one summer, Kristen became a political activist and now, you know, changed her whole life for one cause, and that's to end abortion. And that's how I got involved, and I got to Washington, D.C., never thinking that I could have the dream job that I have today of leading a national pro-life student organization. Never thought that that would ever be possible. And I'm just so grateful for the job I have and the people I know, and to have you, David, as a mentor right by my side every day.
Mm. Well, Kristen, I work with pro-lifers all across the country through 40 Days for Life, and some are youth, and I'm very encouraged by that, but some of them are also adults. And I get asked all the time, how can we as adults be more effective at connecting and working with student pro-lifers? You're the expert on that. What would you say for how adults can connect more with student pro-lifers?
Sure. I think that's a very important question because, you know, every time I go somewhere to speak, just like you, David, I have adult, a county right to life leader saying, you know, we need more students. We need more volunteers. I need help. And so the adults in the pro-life movement need the students and vice versa. And I think there's a lot of partnership opportunities. The first thing is adults can go to the high schools. They can go to the college campuses and start asking around, going to the conservative group and the prayer meetings and finding out who are the pro-life students, who are the movers and shakers at the school or on the campus, and start motivating them to take a stand for life. Many kids in high school and the college, they've never even thought that they could start a pro-life movement on their campus. And they just need that seed planted. They just need that push. We try to do that as much as we can with Students for Life, but with only 3 field staff, we can't get across the country. But you can, and you have access. You have kids, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, godkids, who all can be pro-life and can be leaders on their campuses. And we know the college campuses and the high schools are where this battle is waging every single day. For the majority of abortions are being performed on college and teen women. So this is extremely important. Another way adults can engage and work with student pro-lifers is once those groups and once those just huddles of kids in the colleges and high schools have been formed, going to them and asking them, what can we do for you? What can we provide for you? What resources do you need? A lot of times, if you're new to the pro-life movement and you're a high school student, you don't know that there are people who are post-abortive, women and men, who will come to your college and your high school and speak for free and to mentor and witness to the women at your school. And that's so important. So a lot of the times what we do at Students for Life, we're just connecting the dots. And we're just kind of the go-between between the students and the national pro-life movement to say, these resources exist. Please employ them on your campus and in your high school.
Well, and it's not only important for adults to work with and connect with student pro-lifers, but it's important for students to engage with adult pro-lifers. And if you kind of look at it from that perspective, from what you've seen through all of your work at Students for Life, why are adult pro-lifers so integral to the student pro-life movement?
Sure. Well, adults are the mentors of the student pro-life movement. You know, we go to high school, we go to college, we're only there for 4 years. And so a lot of our students will spend all of their time, dedication, starting these great pro-life student groups and starting a movement on their campus, only to graduate in a few years. And they haven't trained a replacement, or they're not sure that the next leader is going to be able to really take the reins. It's so important that there's an adult pro-lifer there who is the mentor for that group and saying, I can help you. I'm the support person. I'm going to keep this going. I'm going to be the stability.
Absolutely. Well, Kristen, you have a very unique vantage point because you've got these student groups. How many student groups do you have on campuses across the country now with Students for Life?
I believe it's about 532.
Okay, so you've got about 532. Could you be more precise? That is awesome. So you have this national vantage point to see what is happening all across the nation, and you also have a vantage point of being in the Washington, D.C. area, so you can see what's going on national issues. What about pro-life youth efforts right now gives you enormous hope about the future of our country, and particularly about knowing that abortion will end? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. What gives you hope?
Well, you know what? It's exactly what you said earlier in the beginning of the session. We aren't the future of the pro-life movement. We are the pro-life movement. Just reflecting on what Matt mentioned, the March for Life this year, it was the majority young people. We know this issue resonates with young people. And you know, I talk to a lot of older conservative audiences and people saying, oh, this generation, you know, they're so liberal and they're going to vote Democrat. We're never going to have a pro-lifer elected again. And I said, that's not true. It doesn't matter what your party affiliation is. These students are pro-life and they know it in their hearts. They've seen the tragedy of abortion. They've seen how abortion has affected our nation and has hurt women and families. And they're pro-life. So we have a lot of hope. You can look after poll after poll. This generation is pro-life.
Well, Kristen, I thank you so much for the great work you do, and I know that Students for Life has a lot of great resources available for people. What would be, if you were encouraging somebody who's listening and saying, yeah, I'm getting excited about pro-life youth advocacy, what would be some great starter resources for them to learn more and get more engaged in this specific aspect of the movement?
Sure. I would be so thrilled if folks would go to our website, studentsforlife.org, and studentsforlife.org. We have a lot of great resources for how students can get involved in the pro-life movement and also how adults can get involved in the student pro-life movement. We have a Facebook cause of over 600,000 people on Facebook. If you go to causes.com/abolishabortion, that will really get you plugged into the student pro-life movement. But then, you know, aside from what we provide Students for Life, there's a lot of great resources out there, and the organizations on this webcast today all have wonderful resources. And I also encourage you to pick up a few leadership books, because if you're a student, that's the number one problem that we have identified with student pro-lifers, is that we've got to make leaders out of students so they can motivate and equip others on their college campuses. And it's the same thing in the adult pro-life community. So great books, you know, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, The Tipping Point, books you hear about all the time that you can take the knowledge and apply it directly to the pro-life movement.
Great advice. And I've heard that great leaders are great readers. And Kristen, I know when I've been in your office there at Students for Life in Arlington, Virginia, I've seen a bookshelf just jam-packed with books, and we're always talking about different things that each of us are reading. And I just encourage everybody to avail yourself of great books on leadership and also to visit studentsforlife.org. Kristen, thank you so much for the great work you do in pro-life youth advocacy and all the work you've put into this Ending Abortion webcast event, and thanks for being a part of this panel today.
Thank you, David, for everything you do.
You bet. Our next presenter, another leader in the pro-life youth movement, is Jim Nolan. And Jim is a good friend I've known for a number of years here. We've had breakfast together numerous times with other local leaders here in the general D.C., Virginia, Maryland area. He serves as the president of Crossroads Pro-Life. Jim, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you.
Well, Jim, I want you to share a little bit about how you got involved in the pro-life movement, but then I also want you to share a little bit about what Crossroads is about. Because when I first heard about what you and the young people you work with do, I was absolutely shocked. I could not believe that people were willing to commit that much to the pro-life movement. So first tell us a little bit about you, and then tell us a little bit about what Crossroads is all about.
Great, thanks. Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know, my parents were always pro-life, and they raised us as pro-life kids, and they took us to the March for Life in D.C., which is where I grew up, every year from pretty much when I was born. I was born in 1974, and I think I've missed maybe 1 year during that time. So I had just great parents that showed such an awesome example. But the first time I really decided to get involved in the pro-life movement was in high school. I got an assignment by our social studies teacher, and the assignment was for each student to pick any topic you wanted to do and do a presentation, a 5-minute presentation in class about it. So I picked pro-life, and it was a public high school, and that was pretty much the topic I wanted to do. And I knew people had different opinions on it, and I hadn't been exposed to too much of the other side and the pro-abortion opinion. And I did my presentation. I got maybe 30 seconds into that presentation before I was shouted down in class.
Wow.
And nobody would let me finish, and it was just insane. And my arch enemy, a buddy of mine, who we did not get along at all, interrupted the class and shouted everyone else down and commanded them to let me finish. And I was like, wow, you know, the pro-life movement, the pro-life cause, and you know, saving children in the womb, it creates friendships, it creates opportunities, and just having that happen to me, get shouted down, and seeing how ferocious and bad the culture of death was getting, and then sort of making peace with someone through that cause just really kind of got me going, and I went away to college with that kind of deep in my heart and on my mind on what to do in the pro-life movement.
So Crossroads, tell us a little bit about what that organization does and what the young people involved do.
Well, a good friend of mine, Steve Sanborn, started Crossroads back in 1995. If you remember, in 2003, at the World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado, the late John Paul II came and made sort of a clarion call to the youth of America and to the youth of the world to help build a culture of life. It was one of the first times that term was used. And he quoted the gospel and said, go out into the highways and the byways and shout from the rooftops and preach it on the streets to help build the gospel of life and spread the culture of life. And we took that call literally, and Steve started Crossroads, and that first summer they decided to drive out to California and walk across America with pro-life t-shirts that just simply said pro-life on the front. And they thought that was going to be the only summer they did it, but 15 years later, we're still doing it. And the main purpose of Crossroads is it's a pilgrimage walk. We have young students from over 40 schools walking every summer on 3 U.S. walks and 1 Canadian walk made up of Canadian students. And they walk 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday. They speak at over 200 churches throughout the summer, at thousands of religious events, to youth groups. Every Sunday, each of the groups prays and counsels women in front of abortion clinics. We're a prayerful, peaceful group attempting to convert the hearts and minds of others. And we've had over 500 or 600 people walk on Crossroads. It's an arduous, hard summer, but it's an amazing, life-changing experience for the people on the walks as well as for the people that they encounter while walking. They walk through 36 states and thousands of towns and cities throughout the 12 weeks that the walk goes on.
And Jim, everywhere I go in the pro-life movement, as I travel crisscrossing the United States, I meet people who went on one of those walks and today are serving in some form of leadership role, either full-time or volunteer in the pro-life movement. It has transformed them. And it really, I look as a dad, I've got 2 children, a 12-year-old and one who's about to turn 8. And I look at what kind of character I want them to develop. And I want them to have an experience like Crossroads because I've seen the character it builds in these young people. And let's talk about that. What are young people learning through pro-life work with groups like Crossroads?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, engaging the youth is so necessary. Just because someone has the pro-life mindset or is pro-life sort of nominally, it's great for a young person to be that way. But in order to preserve that feeling and to nurture it, you have to get young people involved. With Crossroads and with all these other youth organizations, the number one thing is they're out there doing good and converting hearts and minds on the issue of abortion and helping build a culture of life, but they are also being affected by it. Through these experiences and through this reinforcement and support, they're ending up getting an adult view of what the culture needs and what's wrong with the culture. They're getting the tools and the materials and the knowledge necessary to move further on into their adult life and, you know, help either work at crisis pregnancy centers, go work for dioceses throughout the country, go be youth ministers, help build up their own young children when they get married later on in life and start families, into, you know, equip them on how to be pro-life and stay pro-life and sort of keep that culture of life and that, you know, continuing that conversion and that process. Because to be pro-life is, you know, the culture of life is such a broad issue. We're not anti-abortion. We're pro-life. And so these young people get equipped through that experience. They get these, they speak, they get speaking experience. They learn how to interact with people, counseling women, and letting them know that there are choices other than abortion. Mm-hmm. And they just have like this amazing transforming experience. So the walks are just as much for the participants as they are for the people that they encounter.
Mm-hmm. There was a book I read a few years ago at the recommendation of Morton Blackwell from the Leadership Institute, and the book was called Dedication and Leadership, which I would recommend to anybody as a great book on what it takes to accomplish great things, to be a leader, to change hearts and minds, and ultimately the culture. But one of the points it makes is that people are looking for something that is bigger than themselves. They're looking for a cause, particularly young people. Idealistically, they're wanting to be a part of something that can literally change the world. And here we have this pro-life message, this vital message about the dignity of human life and this Holocaust that's occurring right before our eyes in America, this crisis. And sometimes when people say, well, what do I do about it? And all we say is, well, can you hand out flowers one day after church once a year? Or can you go to one event one time a year? Or can you just hand out voter guides? Our actions don't really reflect the seriousness of what we say. And I think that through efforts like Crossroads and 40 Days for Life and Bound for Life and Students for Life, it gives people an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves and really pour themselves into a mission that is meaningful. Jim, we have seen all these polling results coming in recently showing that America is trending more and more pro-life, the majority of Americans self-identifying as pro-life, but your young people are out on the road going to all these thousands of towns. Is America really pro-life? Is that what they're finding?
I'll tell you what, you know, ever since I got involved in Crossroads in 1998, one thing we've learned on the road that we feel like we can say with a little bit of special authority through passing through, physically walking through all of these thousands of towns and cities, we receive almost 100% support.
Wow.
Very, very few times do we run into situations where there's a bad comment or anything like that, but almost exclusively the support is 100%. People honk, they wave, they stop by and bring water and fruit to the walkers while they're walking. They run into them in grocery stores. They see them in their churches. They see them on their roads. And the overwhelming thing that we've seen is that America is a pro-life country. Abortion is not in the mainstream thought. It's not something Americans want. You know, it was imposed by a court decision. And I believe that the country is truly pro-life. It's not just a marketing gimmick. It's not just a, you know, a saying that we use. We actually mean it. It is a pro-life country.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, in just 1 minute, as we get ready to wrap and move to the next presenter, do you really feel that the answer to ending abortion, that's the purpose of our webcast today, is to talk about ending abortion, does the answer rest with young people?
It absolutely does. The young people participating in the pro-life movement is critical, and it is crucial. And I'll just share with you a really, really brief letter that I got in the mail today. And this young person heard other young people speaking in her church last week, and she said, "Dear Crossroads people, this is $146 that I have been keeping as tithing money for a really good cause. I've kept it for over 4 months, and it looks to me like the causes just don't get better than this. Keep being awesome, and I'll keep you in my prayers. Love, Shelby. P.S. I'm 17, so I'll be joining you and walking next summer.
Wow.
To have these young people have other young people witnessing to them is critical. It's just crucial. And there's no, it's endless how important that is.
Mm. So, Jim, where can people learn more about you and your work, and any suggestions for maybe an additional resource that people can delve into to learn more about pro-life youth advocacy?
Well, to learn more about Crossroads, they just have to go to crossroadswalk.org. They can watch our video, they can read our stories from the road, and they can check out our blog. But a resource that we use on the road at clinics when we're praying and counseling that is of utmost importance and has seen such an awesome amount of support has been the Monsignor Riley's Helpers of God's Precious Infants Handbook for using in front of clinics. It's just an awesome resource. And when you use that resource and you have people counseling, you have people turning around and women choosing life left and right. So I would definitely recommend that resource.
Okay, Jim, God bless you. Keep up the great work, and I encourage everybody to visit crossroadswalk.org. Learn more, get involved with Crossroads, get your kids or maybe yourself to go on an upcoming Crossroads Walk. Jim, thanks for being a part of the webcast.
Thank you, David.
I have, before our final presenter, Brian Kemper, I have one person who's coming on just for a minute as a surprise guest. It's somebody who is a part of one of our earlier panels, specifically on Planned Parenthood, somebody who's done a lot of undercover exposés of the harm being done by Planned Parenthood, but she also is very heavily engaged in youth advocacy, and wanted to give her a minute to share a little bit about other resources available, and that is Lila Rose. Lila is the head of Live Action, and she just recently graduated from UCLA. Lila, how are you doing?
Hi, David. I'm doing great. Thank you.
You bet. Well, what would you suggest to somebody in terms of getting involved in pro-life youth advocacy? What are some great resources, and how can they get more engaged?
Of course. Well, I'm completely on board with what everyone is saying. The youth are the ones that are going to win this and end abortion and build a culture of life in our country. A quick resource that is good at whether you're a high school student, a college student, whether you work in a youth group, whether you're at your church or in your community, wherever you may be, is the first and only national pro-life by students for students magazine, which is put together by a team of students and gets submissions from students across the country. It comes out quarterly. It can be distributed anywhere for free, and it basically has cutting-edge persuasive articles, information about abortion, and particularly uses the power of images to change the minds of youth. The actual image of the victim of abortion, which is that unborn child, and also the images of how abortion negatively affects women and families and communities. So I strongly recommend this resource. It's on over 80 college and high school campuses right now. You can get it for free from our website, liveaction.org, L-I-V-E action.org, and it's for anyone and everyone to use, and if you just go there and send us an order, we'll ship them right away to you.
All right, Lila, thank you so much. I appreciate you popping in. I know you've been traveling extensively today, so thanks for your willingness to come on and just share that resource so people can get a little more involved. And I encourage everybody, visit liveaction.org and avail yourself of those great resources. The final presenter in this pro-life youth advocacy panel is a person that I respect tremendously. He is a friend, and we have known each other now for a number of years, and that is Brian Kemper. Brian is the founder and president of Stand True Ministries. Brian and I talked yesterday on the telephone, and in just a minute, we're going to get into something that's fairly weighty. It's a little bit off the path of what we've been talking about, but I think it actually could be exactly what we're supposed to be talking about. But Brian, before we delve into that, everybody else has shared a little bit about how God called them into pro-life work. Can you share just a minute about how God brought you to the point where you're at in Stand True Ministries?
Absolutely, David. And if you have trouble hearing me, I'm sorry. I'm in our tour van in the middle of a festival under a thunderstorm here in Wisconsin. So I hope that noise doesn't interfere. But, you know, for me, getting involved in the pro-life movement, it wasn't what I was going to do. I was going to be a rock star. I had spent most of my life on drugs and involved in some of the worst stuff in the world. And when I came to Christ, I loved music so much, and I wanted to start a Christian band and go out and save the world. And I had started looking into the pro-life movement and started seeing some stuff. And when I first got involved, there really wasn't much for youth. I would go and I would see these precious Blue Herald ladies talking, and the T-shirts and the different stuff that they had was stuff that I just couldn't relate to. And that I knew that most of my generation, a lot of it wasn't stuff they could relate to. And as you said in the beginning, I kept hearing over and over and over, youth are the future of the movement, the future of the movement. And I thought to myself, like, this is our generation that is being slaughtered. These are our brothers and sisters. We're not the future of the movement. We are the present of the movement. We are, and we must be the pro-life movement. And so for me, it was a matter of almost necessity to create sort of a branch of the pro-life movement that young people can grab onto and take ownership of and say, this is my pro-life movement. Events and resources and stuff and t-shirts and everything that they could relate to so they can reach their generation with the pro-life message. And so that's what really got me involved, is wanting to create that kind of pro-life movement that young people could take ownership of. And anybody who's ever run a business or worked in a business, knowing that if you just have someone that's there, they don't care that much. But if they feel ownership, if they feel a sense of ownership, they get really involved, and they're some of the best workers at any business are people that feel ownership. And that's what I wanted to do. And so it forced me to get involved and to go full time in this, to make sure that this generation had those kind of resources. And now, going to the March for Life the first time I went, and then going this last year, the amount of young people that are there, it just blows my mind how many young people are now there. And it truly, the face of the pro-life movement is getting younger and younger. And it's just so incredible to see that.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, as we talk about youth advocacy, I know that, you know, what you may have originally thought about sharing during this webcast to the thousands of people who are participating today, all of that changed pretty drastically when you yesterday called me and we were finalizing the schedule for this event today, and you shared with me from your heart about something very, very terrible that had just happened. And then you shared with me a message that you felt was something that should be shared on this webcast. You asked my opinion, and I could not have agreed with you more. And I truly believe that what you shared with me yesterday and what I believe you're about to share now, this could be the reason that we're having this entire webcast. This could be the most important message of this day or of this panel. But I was just wondering if you could share from your heart a little bit about what God has put there, and really use that challenge to maybe help to encourage people to put their faith into action.
Yeah. You know, I was going to talk a little bit about our summer mission trip and the stuff that's going on, that the young people that are traveling the country with me all summer, setting up at all the music festivals, just talking to hundreds of thousands of people about the pro-life message. And this Thursday, when I got to this festival here in Wisconsin, I had just talked to my publisher about an ad for another festival for my book. And the guy, and I said, you know, my friend Brandon, hey, I need him to create this ad for me. And she's like, sure, I'll talk to him in a little bit. And he was going to create this ad for our pro-life book. And she called me back a few hours later, and I had just seen an Amber Alert go out on my wife's Facebook. And she's like, Brian, did you see this Amber Alert? And I'm like, yes. And she goes, well, that little boy Zane, that's Brandon's little brother. He was kidnapped, and I was just shocked. But then she said, Brian, while he was being kidnapped, his older brother, Brandon, tried to step in the way, and he was shot and killed. And it just threw me. This beautiful 22-year-old man who has become my friend recently was dead. And she told me the whole story. The stepdad, it was actually his own stepfather, came because of a separation in their family, came to take Zane, and Brandon stepped in front, and the stepdad pulled out a gun and shot him in the chest several times, turned the gun on Brandon's mother and said, you need to make your will right now, and then turned around and shot Brandon several more times, and then took Zane and fled. Later that night, praise God, they found Zane alive in Indiana, and he was okay physically. And then last night, they caught the stepfather in a police chase in Dayton, Ohio, and they were able to apprehend him and put him into custody. And now Zane and his mother are safe and out of custody. But I went to bed that night and praying, and woke up the next morning praying, God, what can you show me in this? What can you show me in this tragedy. And what God showed me was that as I woke up that morning, that was a day that was not promised to me. That every day that I wake up is another day that was not promised to me. Brandon was not promised Friday morning, and he didn't get Friday morning. But Brandon spent the last few moments of his life giving his life for someone else, standing in the gap for his little brother. He didn't know that he wasn't promised the next day, but he knew that when someone was in danger, when that little boy was in danger, he was willing to stand in the gap for that little boy. And I realized that every day that I wake up is another day that I'm not promised. But it's another day that God has given me an opportunity to worship him, to love him, and to stand up for those that have no voice, to stand in the gap and live our lives for someone else. And our whole team prayed that morning that God would teach us how to live that day, not worry about yesterday, not worry about tomorrow, but to live that day for Christ, to live that day for someone else. And Brandon was an inspiration to us for that. And I know that one day I'll be able to thank him and give him a big hug for opening that in my life and for me to see that and to know that Matt Lockett said earlier in this about now is the time. It is the time. We are not promised tomorrow, David. We are not promised tomorrow, and we cannot put off this work. We cannot put off this important work of standing up for others, for the almost 4,000 children that are dying every single day in this nation and all the ones around the world. We don't know if we have tomorrow. So this generation needs to live today for Christ, live today for others, and give everything that we can. And if we happen to wake up the next day, to thank God again for that new day, and to live that day again.
And Brian, I just, when you told me yesterday what God had put on your heart, I just think this message is so critically important. It's easy to sometimes put abortion and the loss of the life of these children into this, you know, these categories of politics or religion or something that is happening out there somewhere. But when we recognize that lives will be lost, even during this day that we have all been together on this webcast event, children's lives have been lost. Are we going to make this time that we have spent together really count? I remember a quote that somebody shared with me a while back when they said, "We can't change the past. We're not promised the future. All we have is this moment in time. It's a gift, and that's why it's called the present." And I think that you have underscored for all of us, and I hope every person who is listening right now, whether it's on the live webcast or to the recording after the fact, I think one of the best things we can do to honor your friend who, in his last seconds, was standing in the gap to save someone else, I hope that we can be willing to put our lives on the line to do everything we can with the time that we have been given to save the lives of these beautiful children made in God's image and likeness, to save their lives, to reach out, to help their mothers, to make an impact, to change this generation. The youth are the present of the pro-life movement, and you are the ones who have the ability to bring about this change. Brian, any closing thought? We've got about 2 minutes left, and also you can let people know how they can find more out about your work, but is there anything else that you wish to share in conclusion?
You know, I debated with myself back and forth over what resource to share and not wanting to just self-promote and everything, but, you know, I did just write a book called Social Justice Begins in the Womb. And Brandon did all of the layout and the art inside that book. And, it's something that means a lot to me. And that's available, through our store, prolifeworld.com, where we have tons of resources for youth and cool stuff for them. But I do believe it's something that could be a good resource. It's written. It answers all the tough questions on abortion. And it's written from really a logical standpoint rather than a deep philosophical standpoint. And I think that would be a good resource for people. And and they can get that through Stand True.
And Brian, I'll just say, I'm not self-promoting it. It's a great book. I have it on my bookshelf right here. You gave it to me personally. It is a wonderful resource. I hope everybody does take advantage of that. And how can they find out more about Stand True? What's the best website?
StandTrue.com. That's StandTrue.com. That's our website, and we would just be honored if people wanted to find out more about the work we're doing.
All right. Brian, thank you so much. I cannot tell you enough how much I appreciate you sharing this situation, this tragedy, but helping to bring some positive light from it. And I hope that people are inspired to do something profound and impactful they might not have done if they hadn't heard this specific message. And Brian, I love you. I appreciate you. Keep up the awesome work out there on the road, and I hope you're safe on the rest of your summer missionary tour.
Thank you so much, David. It's such an honor to be on this.
You bet. Well, hey, that brings us to the end of this panel on pro-life youth advocacy. In just a second, Sean Carney, our co-host, will give us a very quick 10-20 second summary of what we've gone through during this session. I want to thank personally Matt Lockett, Kristen Hawkins, Jim Nolan, Lila Rose, and Brian Kemper for sharing and for what they're doing to transform our culture, one heart, one mind, one life at a time through the youth pro-life movement. Sean, any quick thoughts you have to wrap up on what we've heard during this time?
I just love that everybody touched on how America is pro-life. Young people are pro-life. There is a shift in our nation that is pro-life. And I think Brian just summed it up with every day is not promised to us. We are not promised tomorrow. And that today is the opportunity to save lives. Beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Well, that brings us to the end of this, the 9th out of 10 panels during the Ending Abortion webcast mega event. This event has been organized by 40 Days for Life. And the website, if you want to learn more about 40 Days for Life, is 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com. It's also been co-organized by Students for Life of America. You heard from Kristen Hawkins a little earlier. She has worked unbelievably hard to make this event coming together today. Studentsforlife.org is where you can learn about them. Also, Ambassador Speakers Bureau is a great place. They have helped book speakers and get them all arranged for today. All of them have donated their time to be on this event. If you want to book a speaker for your next pro-life event, ambassadorspeakers.com. And it's time to move to our final panel of this Ending Abortion event, and that is going to be on influencing the culture. All you need to do, go to endingabortion.com/event. Endingabortion.com/event. Scroll down to the 10th and final session. Go back and listen to some of the recordings of the previous sessions. And please, if you have been blessed and encouraged by what you've heard today, if you have been inspired to know that you can make a profound difference and save lives right where you live, share this with everybody you know. Tell friends, tell family members, tell people involved in your church, your organizations to go to endingabortion.com. All the recordings from this entire webcast event will be there from now on for them to access free of charge for all time and for you to go back and listen to as well. But spread the word, and together let's press on in this work. So that brings us to the end of this panel session. Thanks again to the speakers. Thanks for everybody being here, and look forward to talking to all of you on future panels on this day. God bless, and let's keep pressing forward, and let's dedicate ourselves today to ending abortion.